Can we make a start? I've been asked to give you a couple of notices. Throughout August, we've had a series of talks on practical Christianity. It began when Stephen talked about the need for a balanced Christian life, and that we're called not just to be used as ornaments on a shelf, but called to be useful. DJ then followed that up by calling us, or reminding us, that we were called to be witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that one of the tasks that every one of us can take part in, and it's difficult, is to pray for others that they be saved through faith in this wonderful gospel. And I know from my own experience that it's easy to talk about, it's hard to get down and really do. So all of us need to work at it. Then last week, Mike and Chris talked about how to use Tuesdays, gave us some excellent key principles, and in particular how to issue invitations to our friends and colleagues with the necessary amount of enthusiasm. This is something really great to come and hear. How to follow them up when they've been, and how to ask for the clothes. Well, those of us in business know it's tragic that when you've uncovered a person's requirements, you don't ask him to close, you've left him in the air. So it's very important that we do ask for the clothes. How they respond is between them and the Lord. No concern of us, although naturally we will be disappointed because we love them. We want them to know this Lord who loves them and loves us. And a very telling point was made that if Jesus is my Lord, I must learn to care for those he cares for. And it may be the most awkward squad in the team in the office. So today Peter and I have been given the task of sharing a vision for the City of London. I'm going to begin with just a few snapshots, and Peter will then take some of those views and enlarge them. So let me begin with a reading which we've taken from Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 3. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, so among yourselves, from the day you heard and understood the grace of God in truth, as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard of it, we've not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, to lead a life worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his Christ. And lastly, verse 28, him we proclaim, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man mature in Christ. Well, the approach to this subject of a vision for the City of London, we did not find easy. We soon realized we had to jettison all our pet ideas of what the future might be, and to turn to the scriptures in the firm belief that the full revelation is already here, if we will only apply our mind in it, that Jesus Christ was indeed God's last word to man, and so we must seek the answer to the vision we have from these words. Last week we heard that people are converted by hearing God's word, and as we've just read, how Paul was able to write to them, as indeed in the whole world it's bearing fruit and growing, so among yourselves, from the day you heard and understood the grace of God. And so we have used Jesus Christ as a cornerstone for all we want to share with you today, because he, as it says here, is the fullness. He always was the fullness, he is today, and will be through eternity. He is head of his worldwide church, and therefore he is the head of the church in the City of London, that everything we build from this point forward is under his charge, his control. We're working with him and for him, but he's the boss, we are his servants. And that lovely encouragement too in verses 12 to 14, where it is the Father who has qualified us, it's the Father who has delivered us, it's the Father who has transferred us from that dominion of darkness into his kingdom of light. And that's why Paul can suggest that he himself would pray and ask, and we ourselves too, to be filled with the knowledge of his will, God's will, so that we can produce a life which is fruitful. And as Stephen said right at the start, we are called to be useful. And all we say today will underline what he said and the others have said, I think, in the past three talks. So let us turn our eyes on Jesus, because there is no change whatsoever. And if that is true, it means that the power which he used to bring people to himself in Athens and in Rome is the same power which he will use in the City of London in 1985 and 1986. There's no new thing. It's God at work using that same power of the gospel. Let me then share with you, and I'm sorry if you can't all see that, but I will read out what we have on the slide, a vision for the City of London. I want you to come with us in an extra-large helicopter. Now, this helicopter is unusual in as much as it doesn't just give you a view of the roofs of the city, including that astonishing building across the road, which is the new Lloyd's headquarters, but it also shows us what's going on inside, and it's what's going on inside the buildings that really matters today. Your seats are paid for, so jump aboard. Thanks to some men who had a real burden for their friends and their colleagues, prayer took place, and the building and the ministry of which we are part today was born some 25 years ago. But as those of you who are on the surrounding edges, as it were, the catchment area, will know, it isn't easy to troop up and down St. Helens unless you're living in this part of the City of London. So part of our vision is that there are no less than 8 strategic areas of the City of London which covers the whole place, so that no one, wherever they're working, has more than a 10-minute walk to go to a pulpit where the apostolic gospel is being proclaimed in a similar fashion to this wonderful autumn program we have here. So let us pray then that God will raise up chosen preachers who will take the time to well prepare, as we know is true of everybody who speaks here. The second snapshot is that wherever we look, in every building, in every office, every marketplace, about 5% of the people on the payroll are now Christians. And they're not sitting quietly, they are being obedient and recognize they have to witness to their friends and their colleagues through the quality of their lives and through carefully chosen words. We mustn't allow a response to our friends about our faith to be just off the top of the head when we get a question. Like any other business opportunity, this needs careful preparation, and we can help one another to do that. So we can do it with joy. We can do it with the right relaxed attitude and to really care for them. And part of caring is to be good listeners. And if anybody, I just think of some of your colleagues in the office, they are ready to tell you how they feel, what they want to do, but normally we're very bad listeners. And even Christians are poor listeners. It's something we have to work at. Because we need to show that we are other-centered, in total contrast to the world's self-interest. Number one comes first. For most people, it's hard for us, isn't it, to make it number two. But we've got to try, and we have the power within us to make it possible. Third, week by week, Christians are inviting their friends and their contacts to the local pulpit to hear this wonderful gospel. And week by week, the Father is active in delivering people from their bondage, transferring them into the kingdom of his Son. So that these new Christians in turn are so thrilled with what's happened to them, they go out to their friends, their colleagues, and bring them in. And so the whole city can truly be covered by those willing to issue an invitation. Come and hear for yourselves. Just two more snapshots. That week by week, Christians, whether they are old in the faith or new in the faith, are being soundly taught. All of us who have benefited from the teaching here at St. Helens will know how important this is to build our faith on firm foundations, so we really do know the Lord we proclaim, so when things get tough and rough, we know who we trust and what is likely to take place, so that people can know God's will for them in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So as we've already mentioned in this scripture, they will have fruitful lives and not be ashamed. They will be joyful of serving the Lord. And above all, developing their relationships with God, because until that is sound, we cannot have mature, sound relationships with one another. And lastly, the world is hearing of what Jesus is doing. Now, we are in a privileged position in the City of London, because people come from all around the world to us, and people go out all over the world. And so we have businessmen traveling overseas, talking to people on the planes and trains, hotels, business meetings abroad. We've got a lot of people commuting in and out of the city, on the platform, and the hang-up of the train, or chatting to our friends on what we're going to do this particular Tuesday, what we heard last Tuesday. All sorts of opportunities open to us. We have neighbours and family at home we can talk to, and of course in our office and marketplace. So the world is hearing. But what is the world hearing? Above all, that we proclaim Jesus as the Lord. There are no seconds, there are no alternatives. He is the Saviour. No one can do it by themselves. And we warn every man and teach every man in all wisdom that we may present every man and every woman who works for the Lord in this city mature in Christ. So that is the vision. Let me just come back then to the first point about the gospel being proclaimed in as many pulpits as necessary to reach everybody in the city. And let's remind ourselves of Paul's wonderful words here. So to the fullest extent of my ability, I am ready to come also to you in Rome to preach God's good news. That was his prime point of going there. For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is God's powerful method of bringing all who believe it to heaven. And that has not changed. So isn't it amazing? I just imagine Paul walking down through the city streets today, going into various churches, perhaps listening to something going on, if there is indeed anything going on apart from a little music, and being astonished that, rather like his first visit to Athens, this place is covered with buildings, apparently temples to something or other, but have little to do with the genuine Christ, which we're going to hear about in this autumn program. Absolutely astonishing when we recognize that that alone, the preaching of the true gospel, is the only power God will use to bring his people to himself. But because Paul understood the majesty and the range of the gospel, it was unthinkable for him not to proclaim it. And do you remember when he wrote to the Corinthians in chapter 9, "For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. All right, not all of us here are called to be preachers. But can we say, woe to me if I do not share the gospel? Or isn't one of us here today to whom that doesn't apply? And Paul never lost confidence in the gospel, nor should we. And God saw fit to close the record of Acts, if you remember, by saying that Paul worked and taught and preached about the kingdom of God right to the very end. And God saw fit to close the whole record of the work of the early church at that point. Mission accomplished. Well, our vision is that mission will be accomplished over the next 5 years in the city of London, that everybody is in within range of hearing, and is indeed hearing, because every one of the Christians whom the Lord has now in the city and who he will have in the city in the next 5 years will be doing their part. So let us pray and remind ourselves that we are a chosen race. We are a royal priesthood. We are God's own people. Why? That you may declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, most of us in business, if we've got responsibilities, are told by our bosses there are two or three key results why I'm really paying you, why you're really here. Well, so it is in the Lord's service. There's all sorts of activities we can get involved with, but there are one or two key results. And one of the key results is that my life and my lips have told many of Christ and his wonderful deeds with joy and deep concern. May that be true for all of us over the next 12 months. I'll now hand over to Peter.
I really can say that I'm the junior partner in this talk today. I first came to St. Helens in 1975. I was brought here to a lunchtime service by Richard Borgonnon. I don't know whether many of you know him. He was constantly saying to me at the desk, I became a Christian so-and-so. And I thought, well, what does he mean? I've been going to church and chapel all these years. What's he getting at? Well, you all know what that means. And I came and Dick was speaking that day on John 3, and he said, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And strangely, those few words entered my heart, and 6 years later, I became a Christian. So for anybody who brings people to St. Helens and keeps digging the soil to wonder what's happening, do be patient, because there are plenty of people around like me. Having reached that position, one was nurtured by Doug Olson, encouraged by the partnership, taught by Dick Lucas, and at that time I had a strange compulsion to take Christianity to Minette's, a large insurance brokerage, which is rather a daunting thought. But I was compelled by a very simple concept, which was to encourage the company to hold a carol service. You'd think that would be very innocuous. But in fact, that is what happened, and that was 4 years ago, and we now have about 250 people in Minette's who come to that service in a church which was redundant. We have 50 people who are regularly in touch with us, and about a group of 12 people who are involved in weekly Bible study and prayer meetings. So I simply mention those not to blow my own trumpet, but to say what the Lord can do through somebody who is converted and who has God's power behind him, and within a group. Minette's have a sports and social club, and it reads like this, amongst many others: badminton, bowls, chess, Christian fellowship, cricket, darts, etc. So that's what happens in Minette's. So we're the religious clique in the middle of all those things, but people are gradually beginning to learn that Christians are not necessarily religious people. But I thank God for what has been done there. Now, we can't have any doubt that Christ is Lord at St. Helens in this building. The Word has converted people. We then become God's workmanship, as Paul said. And he then has an individual plan for each one of us. I heard a preacher recently who said that don't forget that Ephesians 2:10 follows Ephesians 2:8 and 9. And I'm sure that many of you know that passage, but 10, I think, says that we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which he prepared in advance for us to do. And if there's one message I would like to try to convey today, it is this, that we are all sitting here as a crowd, but I do beseech you to consider that the Lord will speak to each one of us individually. And he has got an individual plan for every person. So I do pray that when one comes to St. Helens, one doesn't really feel just one of 600, but the one in your life, in your place. And that God has got a real plan for you personally. It may not be a big job, it may not be a small job, but certainly the Lord has a plan for you personally. So, is he Lord at our office? Christ is in us as we are converted. And Christ enters our office within us. And therefore he is there. And is he seen? And are there other Christians in that business house? And are they together? I think there are many Christians in many business houses who don't in fact join the Christian fellowship. There are many more Christians in our business houses than we actually realize. I think one of the key factors is that if we can draw together one with another, you'll find high church, low church, quiet church, reserved church, keen evangelicals. But God really wants us, I believe, to be the body of Christ in that place. So just as there are different denominations, so there are different people. And I think he wants to bring us together. Paul said, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So he really does speak to individuals. So God wants to use you. We had a preacher at Frinton last week, and he gave us 5 points over a five-day course, and he said that God values you, each one. He accepts us. He loves us. He accepts us and adopts us, and he indwells us. And he said, God wants prodigals. And he had a marvelous sense of humor. Dennis Shepherd from the CPAS, he said, who wants prodigals? Lock them up, he said, normally. But God wants prodigals, so he wants each one of us as well, personally. And he wants us to live a life worthy of him. There's a chorus in the Mission England Praise book, which goes like this. He said, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. And it goes on, all power is given in Jesus' name, in earth and heaven, in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name I come to you to share his power as he told me to. And this, I think, is where we come back to Derek's obedience. And I would just like to ask you at this point to just have a look at the screen. We were talking there about power, and I would just like to share this with you. We have so much teaching that I think it does help us sometimes, just in our own mind, to get ourselves in order a bit in terms of our Bible, our teaching. And here you see we have the word power. And I think this will give us 5 components that we can consider as we go back into our business houses. That we have the power of his living presence. As I said, Christ can enter Willis Faber, Sedgwick's, Wigan Poland, Pete Marwick and Mitchell. He can enter those buildings through us. It may be just that we're the first one. But it's the power of his presence in us. And one or two verses of scripture here. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Now, this is a fabulous verse from Paul in Ephesians. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you? So there we are, not to be underestimated. I can do everything through him who gives me strength, Paul said in Ephesians 4:13. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. So to me, that's the presence. We can't work without the Lord's presence through his Holy Spirit. And many times we've heard about the Holy Spirit, and we must have that as Christians. Otherwise, we are completely lost. And then we come to the principal point here in this building, obedient to his living word. You see, the word is not just to be heard and to be listened to. James in chapter 1 says, do not merely listen to the word, but do what it says. Some strong words in the Bible. And we all know this scripture here, I think. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now that means every person here. May I commend to you something which I thought was impossible, but with God, things do become possible. That Peter Butler from Stuart Wrightson mentioned to me one day, he gave me a little booklet as I became a Christian by the Navigators, and it gave you 5 memory verses. And I looked at those memory verses for 6 months, and I thought, I will never remember a single verse. But somehow, if we ask God to help us to do this, he will write scripture on our hearts, so that at the right time, God will speak to us in that way. Jesus said, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. So there we have obedience to his living word. And the W, the work and the worship. Do you consider that work and worship go together? When you're in your office, is your work actually something completely detached from your Christian life? Or are they two actually inseparable? Is really God at work with you on your desk? In my belief, God never leaves us. He's there from 8 o'clock on Monday morning to 4:30 or 5 or 6, whenever it is, on Friday night. And so, to us, St. Helens surely can't be something separate in the day. It must be part of the whole week, so that when we come here, we hear the word, and we go back and we obey it and we love it, and we really seek to reach out then. And then we come here to the item of prayer, which VJ and Richard have spoken about, and we can't work without we entrust everything to God and inquire his will. We enlist his power, because as we've said, our power is of no effect. We're simply clay pots. And encouraging one another in prayer. I was speaking to 2 people earlier before this service, and that we were talking about their position in a major broking house, and they said that sometimes they feel that they're terribly alone in there. But they've got this tremendous vision for that business house. And what we're saying here today, I think, is don't feel alone. You may be the only person in that office block, but come here, join the family of God. Let us pray with you together about this. And then we can be ready to represent Christ, reaching out with a message of reconciliation. 1 or 2 verses. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Well, there we have it. Derek spoke about the caring nature of Christians. I give you one more word which you may be able to memorize. The word close. There are 5 points. Caring and compassion, listening and learning, opening eyes, ears, minds and hearts. These are all biblical. These phrases and these keys are all from the Bible. They're not my ideas. Shared testimony. Have you ever shared with somebody what has happened in your life? It says here, pointing to Jesus through human experience confirms the truth of the gospel and acts as an illustration of God's faithfulness. And the function of a signpost is to point the way, not to draw attention to itself. This is about testimony. If our testimony does not point to Christ and create a desire to know him, it will fail. But a clear testimony given to glorify God will open a door for the gospel. I'd like to point to you the final one there. I've got 2 minutes to go. But this is the key question. Nothing will happen in the city until we individually come to the cross of Christ. And the question which you need to ask of yourselves and of your friend in the office or on the train or at home, rather like the question that was asked of Billy Graham at Ipswich last year, if you were to die tonight, and God were to say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? I don't know whether many of you have heard that question. Raise a hand if you've heard it before. Would you mind? Everybody's heard the Kennedy question. There are two. Would you be sure that you would have a place in heaven? And people said, Billy Graham, how could you possibly be so certain? He said, well, it's not me. It's Christ. And so there we are. The summary, very quickly. The city are God's resources. And in our view, those resources of those business houses will operate and will be profitable for those who work and profitable for God in harmony with one another. We believe that harmony starts at the cross. It's all to do with relationships. I just end with one point. Do please ask yourself where you are individually. Is there a Christian family? Is it recognized? Is God calling you to form one? Would you tell us the position in your particular business house? Would you share with us? Come and tell us about your business house. What's going on there for Christ? Your gifts are very real and God wants to use them. And the final question, are you willing indeed to do that? Because we believe that God can do great things through each person in this church today. And may it be to his glory.
Just to summarize, God is in charge of his church in the City of London. The hell of the future is not in our hands, thank God, but in his. We've talked about the possibility of having 8 pulpits, so the hell of the City of London is covered. That may seem beyond the scope or power of any one of us, but let's all commit ourselves to pray for that. But remember, in each one of those 8 areas is a little tiny corner which is wholly occupied by you and me. So we have some work to do. So let us begin to really love and start caring for the unbeliever next to me. Let us learn how to train one another. Let us pray together. Let's encourage one another. And as you've just heard, let's work in all things for the Lord. And what a difference that makes to every job, every responsibility we are given. So I just want to close with this word of prayer. First, just from Psalm Prayers, tell out my soul the glories of his word. Firm is his promise, and his mercy sure. Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord to children's children and forevermore. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for the wonderful privilege of serving you in this City of London. We are amazed at what you're doing, and we realize that in one sense, you've hardly begun. There's so much more to be done. The harvest is all around us. So help us to be obedient to your calling, obedient to your word. Strengthen us. Take away our fears. Thank you that you value each one of us so much. And help us to begin to value those about us whom you love so deeply. So, Lord, we just commit the whole of this August series into your hands. Thank you for the truths you've reminded us. Thank you for awakening us to our responsibility. Thank you for this wonderful autumn program you proclaimed and put where the Lord Jesus Christ will be proclaimed every Tuesday from the beginning of September right through to Christmas. Help us to use that opportunity and rejoice with others, particularly as our friends come to know you as their Lord and Savior. So thank you for what you've done, what you are doing, and what you will do in the future. But our hope is in heaven with you. In Jesus' name. Amen.